Andy.
1 minute late. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me, Linda?
I will think about it.
Okay, well, don't keep me in suspense for too long, girl.
Girlfriend.
Girl, you gonna forgive me, girl?
Girl.
How you doing, girl?
Oh, you know. I'm gonna try to replace my Dyson vacuum battery on this call.
Ooh, replace the whole battery, not just recharge or anything. Yeah. You got like a replacement battery here?
Yeah, I am actually extremely excited about this. Not sarcasm.
I mean, sounds like your vacuum wasn't working, so that's going to be fun to get it working again.
Well, I have one of those cordless Dysons, and
I got that as much from the battery.
And the battery would last like 10 minutes, and you're like, what's going on here? And so I emailed them, and I said, it only lasts 10 minutes, what's going on here? And they were like, oh, we'll just send you a new one. They didn't even ask for like a receipt or anything.
Yeah,
they're just like, what's your address?
Pay a lot of money for fancy stuff, and part of what you get is customer service that works that way, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
I feel like a lot of them have done the calculus, though, and realized that actually all the overhead of, like, hectoring people for receipts and, like, checking stuff and, like, doing all this crap. Like, you got to pay someone to do that, and then how many times does somebody actually lie? And then also, you have the hit to, like, the customer service experience. Like, you had a very positive customer service experience, which was also a very low impact on the customer service staff. So, you know, maybe that's just the best way to do it.
It is. Just be not a dick.
Now, this battery is not, like, you know, swollen or bursting or anything, right? You're not going to have a fire on mic.
No, there's nothing like that going on. It's just, like, you know, just like a battery pack.
Battery pack.
Oh, but it feels like this screw is a little stripped. That's no good. Andy, I feel like I'm about to have to embark on the journey that you just went on.
Let me try and figure out what journey that was.
Yeah. It's a shitty one.
It's a shitty journey.
I mean, shitty, like, in the first journey. In the first world sense.
Are you going to have to... What's the most frustrating thing I had to do recently? I was complaining on the show recently. I'm lost. What do you got to do, Linda?
I think it's time for a new mattress, Andy.
Oh, new mattress. Yeah, that was frustrating. It's true.
Like, not... I mean, maybe shitty is a little bit exaggerated, but, you know, it's like a whole thing. You got
to
figure it out.
I mean, it's really not fun to wade into a space where, you know, every single fucking person's trying to trick you.
Right.
It's really not fun to be like... in what ways am I being manipulated and tricked?
And it's like all of them.
Yes, all of the ones you've heard of, because that's how you've heard of them, through all the
manipulation and tricking. And even when you think you found, like, oh, a nice little review site that's totally unbiased. No, it's biased as hell.
Well, so here's my thought, Linda. I have one regret about my home mattress situation, and it is this. I told the story on the show. We, you know, did all of our research. I ordered a mattress, which... by all accounts seemed good. It was a company that actually doesn't do any advertising. They had like a very simple website. They didn't seem to do any of that, like, you know, every 12 days there's a sale nonsense. It was like, no, the mattress just cost an amount of money, it was reasonably priced, it was made of organic materials, and, you know, it got delivered in a box like all the mattresses do. And it just didn't work out for us for reasons you could never discover by looking at reviews or whatever. I just, like, it was a little too firm for me, a side sleeper of my size, and I was waking up with both my arms asleep, which was not great. Like, numbness in both of my arms just because of, like, the way it was putting pressure on my shoulder. And it was like, well, this is the whole point of the 100-day, you know, no risks trial policy. And I told the story on the podcast. So I'm just recapping for people that haven't heard the previous episode. So I had neighbors that had ordered a mattress and had to return it, and when they, like, called to return it, what the mattress company did was just arrange for it to be donated, because they'd be like, well, obviously we're not taking used mattresses back and, like, repackaging them and selling them. So, you know, that's just worked into their costs and their profit margins, assuming that one in every 50 people is going to return a mattress, and they basically donate it, right? Which I was like, that's a fine outcome if that's what happens. Well, this mattress company, Linda, they just sent a man who threw this brand new mattress in the garbage. And it was just a terrible feeling realizing it was happening, because I didn't know until the moment, like, I helped him carry the mattress out of our house, and then he, like, threw it in the back of a dirty truck full of garbage. And I was that's not a donation vehicle. What I had done in the moment, which I think would have worked, is I wish I had said to this guy, hey, guy, look, you're about to throw this mattress in the garbage, which is not okay with me from a moral economic, environmental perspective. I will give you $100 to report in your little app or whatever that you picked up this mattress, and then I would have just donated it myself separately to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I'm almost certain that guy would have been like, great, yeah, sure, what the fuck do I care? Like, you know, obviously, it would be a weird grift to get a free mattress, which is why they, like, don't just let you donate it yourself, because I could just lie and be like, yeah, sure, I hate your mattress, give me my money back, and then just sleep on it for the rest of my life. But
right.
I think that guy would have been like, whatever, who gives a shit, sure. And then I could have just donated it myself and bought a new mattress. That is what I wish I had had the wherewithal the day of to do, but I didn't have that wherewithal. So that's what I will say to you, Linda, is maybe, oh, you got it working.
Whoops. Well, it's the screws are tiny. I need a tiny screwdriver. I have a tiny screwdriver. They're in there very good. So I need to use my electric drill, which is going to be like a whole thing. Anyways, so you wish you had done all that, but you didn't.
Yeah, so I guess the two...
I mean, you can't go back in time and, like, pay the man.
Right. I guess the two things I would do if I were you is, number one, I would ask before you buy from a company, what is your return process? What happens to the used mattress? It didn't occur... Yeah. Like, I heard this neighbor had it donated, and I was like, well, of course that's what they all do. That makes just a million senses. A million senses are made. So I assumed everyone would do that, because why not?
Yeah.
And then turns out this one doesn't. They just, you know, throw them in the capitalism incineration pile. So I guess I would ask that question first of, like, their customer service. And then if you do have to return a mattress and things go awry, just be prepared to, you know, slip the person picking up your mattress in a garbage truck $50 or $100 so you can just donate yourself. Those are my only two tips, Linda.
I'll start with $20 and then I'll see if he takes the bait. And then if he doesn't, then I'll be like, okay, fine.
Something tells me that if it was a heterosexual delivery man, they would take $20 from you. They'd probably take like $50 or $100 from me, but they would take $20 from you, I bet.
I would just smile a lot. Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, oh, no, this is so bad. I'm so sad and helpless. What if I gave you $20 and looked really adorable?
Yeah. Oh, whoopsie doopsies.
That wasn't quite the fun.
My famous catchphrase.
Whoopsie doopsies. I dropped my lolly in the ground.
Oh. Child now.
Anyway, that's my only tip, Linda.
I feel like I need to do that. Yeah.
Every fucking mattress is the same. They're all just, you have two kinds of three kinds of mattresses you can buy. You can buy the foam brick, you can buy the spring brick, and you can buy the spring brick with the foam brick on top. Those are your options.
Yeah. Ugh. I stayed at a hotel recently that had a really great bed, and I had a great night's sleep, and I'm going to call that hotel, and I'm going to ask them what it was.
No, you should do that. You can also sneak a peek at the mattress if you think about it next time. Just, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Though I guess that's, some people maybe wouldn't want to pop the sheets off of a hotel mattress. Maybe that would reveal some things you didn't want to see, you know?
Yeah, I just don't want to see the bed bugs that are definitely in there.
Sometimes you just got to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss, baby.
I haven't been sleeping great, and like ever since I came back from all my travels, I wake up like really tired. So that's my only guess, and I've never really loved my mattress. I had the same thing that happened to you, where it's like it's a little too tough when it showed up, and I was like, whatever, I'll just, they said just wear it in, just give it the old college try. Just
right, they give you the 55 questions they give you when you try to return a thing, which I will say, in the defense of the horrible mattress company that actually threw this mattress in the garbage, they were like immediately like, sure, yeah, return it. They like literally didn't ask any questions. They didn't suggest I do anything. They were like, yep, sure, just press this button and we'll schedule a pickup.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay.
Well, that was the big thing I wanted to talk about, so.
We should talk about sleep, Linda, because my sleep has been fucked up and I'm very mad about it. I don't know. I like feel like I go through phases, and lately my phase is just that I wake up super duper early, and I'm not well rested. It's not like sleep over, time to get up. I wake up super duper early, and I'm exhausted, and then cannot fall back asleep, which is a brand new problem for me. I've never had for my entire life, but the past like 3 or 4 months, I had like a 2 month period in like February and most of March where I was waking up pretty much every day between like 3:30 and 4:30, let's say, and just not being able to get back to sleep.
Ugh.
It was terrible.
Witching hour.
And then, like, last night, I was so exhausted yesterday, Linda. Yesterday, we went and cleaned out our whole office, which we're getting rid of, which is a whole other thing we can talk about if we want. But
hell yeah.
I had to go clean out the office we had been in for 7 years and, like, carried just many, many, many giant bags of garbage up and down 3 flights of stairs and around a building and into a dumpster, and I was fucking exhausted after doing that all day. and I was like dragging all evening and like just couldn't wait to get to bed. I had a couple things I had to do for other stuff, for other podcasts. I had to get edited and things, and I was like almost falling asleep editing this other podcast. And then it was like, all right, it's finally bedtime at like 9:30, and guess what? Wide awake. Eyes would not close. Fell asleep at like 12:30 after being super fucking exhausted all day. And I'm like, why, body? Why do you do this to me? What is this?
Why?
It's fucking cruel. It's cruel.
What do you think it is?
Cruel and unusual.
What do you think it is? Like, when you think through all the things that people tell you to think through when your sleep is bad.
I mean, I know I am prone to overthinking and rumination, and this is what happens oftentimes when I lay down to go to sleep.
Of course
I'm exhausted when I'm trying to do some tedious podcast editing because my mind is sufficiently occupied to not be and I don't mean it's not always negative, actually. For most of my rumination, maybe it's the wrong word, most of my rumination is just like, you know, I am just beginning the process of having the front half of my basement finished so I can have a home office. And I just couldn't stop thinking about all of the details of my new home office and what kind of desk will I get and how will I arrange the room and what kind of lighting will I have.
That's like a certain type of anxiety.
I don't even know if you would call it anxiety. I mean, maybe someone would call it anxiety. I don't feel the thoughts do not have any negative impact on me emotionally.
Right.
The only negative impact is that I'm unable to sleep. You could call it excitement if you wanted to.
A negative physical impact.
Yes, but like,
yeah.
I think it's actually kind of just in this case, like, I'm excited about having a home office, for fuck's sake. It's been 2 years of working from home, and like for a year,
so
I was
excited. You can't go to sleep like it's Christmas.
Pretty much. I mean, I like to plan things, and I get really excited about stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sleep is. I really like. For people for whom sleep is a given, it's like such a gift. Like, Hillary can just sleeps normal, just a normal sleep person. If she's tired, she can sleep. She can just sleep. And
it zonks right out.
Her entire life, she's never had like sleep issues. And my life has been nothing but a parade of various sleep issues at different stages of my life.
I was always a really, really, really good heavy sleeper my whole entire life up until like, I'd say my 30s, late 20s. Suddenly like drinking would do it.
Or I can never sleep when I drink. That's one of the reasons I don't drink, basically.
Yeah. And now it's just, I've been waking up at like 3, just wide awake lately. But I can usually get myself to go back to sleep. And, I've been a bad girl. I've been taking some Advil PM every now and then.
Wow.
Don't tell the cops.
Fucking hardcore rebel.
Yeah,
that was the worst for the times where I was waking up at like 3:30. Sometimes I could fall back asleep around like 8 a.m. And it was like, okay, well, I got to be up in a half hour, but I guess maybe I'll try and get 30 more minutes of sleep. But we're old, Linda. This happens to old people. And I'm always like, why does that happen to you, old person? Why can't you sleep anymore? You're old. You should just be sleeping all the time. But this is what happens when you get old.
Yeah, stuff starts to move around and change.
Now, here's a question for you that I have pondered myself quite a bit about my own sleep. How bad would your sleep have to be before you would consider some like substantial intervention? I'm talking like a melatonin or like, you know, things with known side effects or known dependence. Like, at what point would you be like, it is worth it for me to sleep better, to like take a big step down the intervention road?
Honestly, I would not have to suffer many nights before doing something drastic.
You're like next week.
I need good sleep, man. It's startling how different I am as a person when I slept like shit the night before. Like, if I only got 4 hours of sleep and I feel like my circadian rhythm is like humming, like you can like feel it and it's weird and you feel out of it and strange. I would pretty much do anything to never have to feel that way. So if I was feeling like that every single day, oh my God. Yeah. I'd be like at a sleep study, hook the stuff up to me, watch me
I
sleep.
Would
I don't
love
care.
To do a sleep study. Fuck. I would love to be studied while I sleep and get a whole big report and all the things that are wrong with me in detail.
Yeah. Like the other night I had a dream that my entire inside of my mouth grew into this massive piece of cauliflower, and I couldn't breathe through any of my orifices.
Oh.
And I'm sure that I was just having like a little sleep apnea or something. Like I was probably just a little like, but my dreams interpreted it in this horrible, horrific way. And It's
that's
just
truly horrifying.
Day. Yeah.
One of the repeated anxiety dreams I have is always related to high school specifically, and like not being able to find, like, it's like the most stereotypical thing, but I'm like fucking 34 years old and it's like I still have dreams about like not being able to find my classroom in time, or showing up to a class without any of my work done, or getting a pop quiz and I don't recognize any of the subject matter. Like, and it's weird, I don't remember ever feeling that way in high school. Like, I didn't care about high school. I was never stressed out about a test. I was like pretty unplugged and convinced I was going to go to art school the entire time. I didn't really care. Obviously, I don't think I cared, but I still have these like nightmares about like just this really intense anxiety about being out of place and not knowing what's going on. And it's always in the context of high school, basically.
Yeah. It is really weird. For me, it's like this one restaurant that I worked at in high school that was the worst. And I always have like romantic dreams about like my first ever crush from like elementary school. And I'm like,
which is like, I don't know, the guy from Hanson or whatever.
No, it was like somebody in my school, but it's like funny that I'm having like that person must just be symbolic of like romance in general.
That was when you formed your core memory for romance.
Yeah, for boys being cute. But yeah, it's funny. I'd be like, I just dreamed about that fucking guy again. Like, I've not talked to him, heard from him. Like, it's not a part of my life in any way.
Now, at the risk of being creepy, in your dream, are you in third grade and also this person is in third grade? Or is it like the adult version of this person?
It's like the adult versions of both of us. So it's like,
Do you still know this person as an adult? Like, do you know what they look like? Or have you extrapolated in your mind palace to what they might look like as an adult?
Like, I know of that, like mild acquaintance. Like, it would be weird for me to call them right now and be like, well, what's up?
Linda,
be
it's
like,
fucking 2022. We're millennials. It's weird to call literally anybody. Do not call anybody unless someone has died or you have pre-scheduled a podcast recording. Those are the two circumstances that I wish you were allowed to call somebody.
I called somebody the other day because we were meeting up for breakfast. And so, yeah, we're about to meet up. It's easier to just pick up the phone and call. And I love that I like called. He did not pick up and I texted and he texted back instantly. Yeah. Like, Linda, are you a serial killer now? What is going on?
Yeah. Phone calls are creepy. It's a creepy intro. It's very weird. I don't like
it. Why? You and I talk on the phone every single week of our lives and it's great.
The thing that's weird about phone calls is, like, I really do believe that, like, audio is a very intimate format. And yes, the thing that is jarring about phone calls is all of a sudden, out of the blue, with no warning, somebody, like, puts themselves into your, like, space in what I think is a very intimate way. Like, their voice is in your head, which I think is very, very, like...
Well, you just want to be inside my mouth with my teeth right now? What's wrong with you?
I just want them to text me. Send me a text so I can read it on my own terms and, you know, and not have this, like, very visceral experience. It's also, you know, it's also a more social thing, right, obviously, to actually have a conversation, and I think a lot of people feel put on the spot socially. I don't actually feel that. Like, right now I'm fielding calls from contractors about my basement, and I don't feel anxiety when I see a contractor's calling me or whatever, because I'm kind of expecting it, and also I don't care about talking to strangers. But I think that's what it is. It's like, it's very intimate. Like, I would be weirded out if a friend were to call me and just be like, what's up? I'd be like,
I would fucking love that. I had a friend do that a couple months ago when I was in the desert. She was just like, yeah, I was just driving, so I figured I'd call you. And then my friend Brett did that a couple of weeks ago. But I think people know that I like it. Because I'll answer if I can talk. And if not, I just won't answer. No big deal.
I think that's also part of it. I think people feel a slight sting of rejection if they call and people don't pick up. And it's not picking up is like so much the default now that people can't take that like little pang of rejection.
Yeah. Oh, man, I just realized me and my friend Jono, we've gotten into calling each other lately, too. It's been like every single time I've called him, he's just like, what's up? Like, he just answers. And it's not planned. And it's always really great.
I'm sorry, Linda. This is definitely pervert behavior. This is not normal. This is very weird.
Whatever. Fine.
Look, you're allowed to be a phone perv if you want. You can be a phone perv. I'm just saying it's not normal. It's
mildly deranged behavior. Well, I really like the way that, like, my niece, who's 7, she will message me these little audio snippets. And she sent me one the other day And it's just like, so it's her voice in my head, but it's not a phone call. It's just like, here, whenever you see this.
Yeah, voice memos,
And she says, Auntie Linda, are you awake? And that's it. That's all it is.
Your niece sent you a you up voice memo.
And I know exactly what it was. I know that she's like playing by herself before her parents wake up. She's bored. She's like looking for someone to hang out with. And she's like,
were you awake at the time or did you get this later?
I got it like 30 minutes later.
Damn.
So
that's the perfect thing to respond to immediately, you know?
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah.
What's up? You up? Then she'll be like, do you want it? Like she said in the last time we talked on the phone, she said in her little voice memo, like, I kind of wish you would call me right now. Like, it's never like, hey, you want to talk? It's like, I wish.
I mean, yeah, wouldn't
it be funny?
Look, that's what adults do too. Adults don't ask for what they need. They just say like, I wish you wanted to naturally do what I need right now. Like that's
actually very true.
That's exactly how fucking adults work too. Ain't nothing different about that. I'm very wary of the impacts of especially young kids having access to like phones and like communication devices. But that said, I'm very excited for like my neighbor's kid who I hang out with every week and like give him a bath and stuff. I can't wait till he's the age where he can just text me. You know, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be fucking
exactly.
It's gonna be so exciting.
I know, it's so cute. And then what's really sad is when they don't text you or respond to you, and you're like, this hurts my feelings.
you're like, what the fuck is an 8-year old doing that they can't respond to me? There's no pretense of like being busy. You're fucking 8. You just didn't care. My message was just not interesting enough to warrant a response. That's the only reason you don't get a response from an 8-year old.
Exactly. Because I realized that all the things that adults talk about, it's like, what's coming up? What just happened? It's a lot of like processing or anticipating. And little kids are just in the moment. So if you're like, what are you doing tomorrow? They're like, I don't know, loser.
I don't plan anything literally.
Yeah.
What I'm doing right now is this Lego thing. It is my entire life. It's my life's work, my only existence.
Yeah.
It's very pure.
Exactly.
It's very pure.
And then you're like, what'd you do at school today? And they're like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Who cares?
My little neighbor's kid, I picked him up from daycare a couple times, and he has this weird thing. He's very like social, but for some reason, when he's in a car, he just won't talk to you. Like if he's in his car seat, he just kind of like shuts down and zones out and just like rides. And so like we're riding back from daycare, and I'll be like, "How you doing? What'd you do at daycare? Did you have a fun day? Did you talk to your friends?" And he literally doesn't respond to anything. The only question he responds to is, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he just says, "I'm riding in the car," and that's the only that's the only words you can get him to say. Any other question warrants literally no response, just crickets. But what are you doing back there? I'm riding in the car. Okay, good. Great, you're still alive. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, and that's beautiful.
He's just in the car, and he goes into fucking car mode, and there's nothing else matters. There is nothing else. Everything is car.
I like car mode. I wish that my niece had that. My niece is kind of an annoying car rider. Like, she wants to talk, and she wants to, like, point out every single thing, and she wants to play I Spy, and it's like a very
curiosity
very,
and playfulness in children is fucking infuriating.
It's just like you have to be very on, and sometimes you're like, I just kind of want to zone out for a minute, so I'd like to hang out with that kid in the car for sure.
He's very more cool my speed. He's a very cool kid, very fun to hang out with in all contexts, but
sounds like it.
But you know, it's very a little bit concerning when he's not speaking at all. You're like, are you okay? Yeah. Are you joking? And he's just like, I ride in the car. Okay, great.
Riding in the car.
All right, you're in car mode. Great. Glad to hear it.
Oh.
What age would you give a child an internet-connected communication device, Linda?
Fucking never. Never years old.
Now, I understand the fun Luda answer. What's the real answer? Would you really not give it to them until they were 18 and can get it on their own? Because, like, I feel that answer, Linda. That answer resonates with me because I think it is bad. I think I wish I had a parent to take my phone away from me and say, you're not allowed to have this. This is not good for you. But also,
well, okay, so
I think, like, go ahead. You talk.
So I watched Come On, Come On. It's this A24 movie with, like, Joaquin Phoenix. And he's, like, watching his nephew for, like, weeks. And, like, he's just, like, learning how to, like, take care of a kid. And in it, you know, they talk a lot about like limiting the kid's screen time. So he's like, all right, so you don't get any screens on weekdays, and then on the weekends you get it for 1 hour. And so I was like, okay, that seems reasonable. But then I was like, the kid is always getting annoyed at him for using the phone. And my niece does this to me too. When I'm like looking at my phone and we're hanging out, she's like, stop looking at your phone. What are you doing?
With legit criticism.
Yeah. And so, and it's legit. And you're like, you're right. What am I doing looking at this stupid thing? And so, yeah, like I need it just as much as a child does. Cause I was like, an hour on the weekend, like that sounds great. But then I'm like, as I'm watching this movie, I'm playing threes because I can't keep my brain like occupied on one thing at a time. So I have to do this other activity on my phone. And then I'm like, so I'm broken. I need help.
You want to play a fun game, Linda, right now?
Yeah.
Let's both open threes, and then you got to start a new game. And when you do start a new game, you can click on stats in the top right. And I'm curious to know your total number of threes games played on your device.
Not only will I not do that for you, I will not do that for me and for the sake of my own. I do not want to know.
I respect your boundaries. Do you want to guess my number?
Oh, God.
Important details here. This is the number of games I've played since Threes released the update, which started counting your games and showing statistics. The very first version of Threes did not. I think for like, I don't know, 6 months or a year or something.
Uh-huh.
So, do you want to guess?
Total games?
Total games played.
Okay. I just opened it, and this number is just going up and up and up and up and up.
It does count up. It takes a second.
It takes a while.
You don't have Linda. I don't want peer pressure. You don't have to do this. This is the boundary for you.
Well, I was just curious. Okay, what is your total, and I'll tell you whether I'm above or below you.
Okay, that's actually a good way to do it. That's a little bit of partial reveal. If you're above me, I will be shocked, Linda. My total number is 6,823 games played.
Oh, I'm way above you.
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah.
Holy shit, I'm so fucking impressed.
So, you have 6,000 games?
6,823, yeah.
Okay, so since you showed me this stupid game, which I honestly don't even play, like, knowingly. Like, it happens when I'm on the train, anytime I'm on an airplane. Like, if there's a lot of stimulus around me.
Yeah, and I just that's what I do, too.
Podcast and zone out. And I have over 12,000.
I am so fucking impressed right now. No, wait, hold on a sec. We gotta check one thing. Do you just suck at this game? Are your games like 2 minutes long? Like what
oh,
is,
yeah, I'm not that good at the game.
What tile?
And I'm still not that good at it.
What tile is your most common high score tile?
Well, now you're gonna make me feel bad.
No, it's not a game where people play competitively. I'm curious to like suss out.
Because I haven't even gotten all the
time
tiles
spent.
You've gotten all the tiles in this game.
No,
sure.
I have not gotten all the tiles. Getting all the tiles in this game is like a huge accomplishment that like I think 50 people in the world have done.
Okay, well, I've only ever gotten the 1536 tile.
Okay, so I've only gotten one step higher than you.
Okay, yeah.
But most of my games are 768 high scores, followed by 1536 tiles.
Yeah, I get the 1536 like every time, and then it's like, oh, dead.
It's really, really hard. I mean, for reference, I have gotten the 1536 tile 1,300 times, and I've only gotten the 3072 tile, actually, 62 times. Which is
like I can't even stand here long enough before the score reveals itself. Like it takes so long. I'm like, I have a problem, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, of all the problems I have, I don't think like compulsively threezing is the worst thing you can do on your phone because you're not, you know, it's not like you're putting your mouth to the fire hose of like bullshit social feeds, and you're not like in a deep doom scrolling hole. It's not good either. Like, I think it's basically the equivalent of like, I don't know, a little slot machine that doesn't cost any money, but it's at least not like actively harmful compared to some of the other stuff you could be doing on your phone. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Cause I've deleted TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Like I don't have anything right now. So my vices in this world are coffee and threes.
Yeah.
And I abuse those things.
I'm so impressed at how many games of threes you've played, Linda.
Oh my god, you've so ruined impressed. Me. Like, I'm like,
because I think when I told you about this game, I probably had 2,000 games racked up at that point. That was probably like 4 years ago, but I probably had 2,000 games racked up at that point.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then I just never stopped.
I'm curious to watch. I wonder if you play like way faster than me or something. I really don't know. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Beep, boop, beep, boop. Yeah, I play very fast. I don't think about it. At first, I would be very careful and I'd be like really trying.
My rule is I don't think about it until I get to a 15-36 tile, and then I'm like, all right, well, now I'll take this more slowly and try and get more points.
Oh, there's the big boy.
Yeah. Ooh, the big boy.
The big boy's here.
This is a vulnerable thing to admit, but it is secretly a big goal of mine to beat threes, which you can actually beat it. And the way you beat it is, so I've gotten the 30-72 tile. After that would be the 61-44 tile. If you get two 61-44s and go to combine them, it just ends the game. And you get a little animation and says you have beaten threes.
Wow.
Spoiler alert for threes. So few people have ever done this, and it is a secret goal of mine to do it. But I have, like, really plateaued in my threes. Like, my average score has not really changed over the past few years, and I don't know how to make it better. So
same here.
Who knows?
Same.
Oh, here. Linda. So anyway, I feel that gut response you had of like, never let children have telephones, but at the same time I also feel like the reality of living in this country in this time and place is like, you have to be competent and like understand these tech. Like, I feel like not giving someone a phone is exactly how you breed somebody that like believes any misinformation they ever see and like has no ability to like control themselves or like, you know, meter themselves. Like, I feel like we're actually kind of in maybe the worst generation for phone addictiveness in some ways, because when we were kids it wasn't a thing, and then it became a thing while we were around and we were just kind of like changing with the technology, but I don't think we were raised with like an intrinsic ability to like have self-control. It's like we were born in a world without sugar, and then all of a sudden, like, there was refined sugar everywhere by the time you and I were, like, 18 or 22 or whatever, and then it's just, like, impossible for us to control it because our brain's already calcified.
Yeah, exactly. And there were limits already built into the devices themselves when we were kids, like how internet connection would block the phone lines.
I'm just thinking about, like, your Game Boy battery dying after 2 hours, you know?
You can't sit there and, like, fling little tiles around for a 5-hour flight and be like,
and like, you know, my first Game Boy didn't even have a backlit screen, so like I had a little like separate like essentially like book lamp I would attach to it when I wanted to play After Dark, which was just fucking hilarious.
So funny.
Boy, oh boy.
I'm walking to yoga now.
Yoga's good for you. That's better than phone time.
Yeah, I do things that are good for me.
Now that I'm fully committing to working remotely, as in giving up our office, I need to figure out an exercise regimen, because for many, many years, I relied on the fact that I would bike 4 to 5 miles a day to work. And now I will not have that anymore. And I feel like without some strict rules, I'm just going to get more and more out of shape.
Well, for the last like 4 days, I have gone on a 3-mile walk. And it feels really good. And it feels like the perfect little amount.
I like that. How good of exercise is walking, really?
It's very good.
Is it?
Yeah. If you think about like what the cavemen were doing, they would like walk and then they would have like little bursts, like the occasional little sprint.
Yeah, but Linda, who says that cavemen had health like locked down?
They did. That's like how we were supposed to be, man. And
do you really believe this, the thing you're saying right now?
I do believe that we were in that state, like we evolved to that state, and that was like where we were supposed to be.
What is supposed to mean in this context? Like,
well, you know,
this
like
is like some God's plan, like, stuff you're pointing at me now.
Well, I'm just saying, like, the minute that human technology kind of got in the way of our own evolution, like we started to like set up lives that are cozier for ourselves than is natural. And so, yeah, we didn't used to sit at desks for 8 hours a day. We would walk, take naps, lay down.
I mean, even in tribal life, some people were definitely, like, if your job was to be the basket weaver for the tribe or whatever, like, you would just kind of sit down and weave baskets all day.
You'd
and
sit someone in else your would Macintosh go computer.
Yeah,
you'd design a 3D.
You'd open up CAD and you'd render a basket and then you'd run it out on your 3D printer.
And your eyes would feel great afterwards.
And yeah, you'd be so happy. Just really satisfied and content with your life.
Yeah. I mean, I think all that stuff is kind of like pseudoscience. But I feel good. Like, I feel like it's getting my blood moving around. It's certainly better than not walking 3 miles.
That's definitely true. I would prefer to go on a long walk in the morning than to do any kind of like more concrete exercise. Like,
yeah.
Maybe I'll try doing that. I've been like trying to go on like a little under 3 mile run most days, and I hate it every day. I hate it all the time. Maybe
the running kind of sucks. So
running
I went
super
to,
sucks.
When I was out in the desert, I would just do like a little hike every day, and I didn't really even like try to lose weight or anything, but I've lost like 13 pounds.
This raises a much bigger question, Linda. Do you weigh yourself regularly?
I did once my pants didn't fit anymore.
You did an exploratory like, weighing? You're like,
One thing that I do is once every couple of months, I'll take measurements because I think that that's a much more accurate way of seeing what your overall health is doing.
You think measurements are better? Like, you mean like linear measurements you think are a better indication of overall health than weight?
I mean, I think those two things combined can give you like a picture of like what's going on maybe. And even just like looking in the fucking mirror can tell you. Like right now I feel like, yeah, I feel pretty healthy. And then—
Are you there? Linda? Oh, she must have walked into a tunnel. The classic yoga tunnel conundrum. I am playing threes right now as she's coming out of that tunnel. I figured, you know, why waste 2 minutes? Linda?
Hello?
There you are.
Oh, I think I know what's happening.
Did you walk into a tunnel?
I don't know what's happening.
Did you wrap your whole phone in aluminum foil?
Yes.
That would be it.
That is it.
By the way, good yes anding. Did you do this? Yes.
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 Immediately? Yes.
Yes.
I keep Reynolds Wrap in my yoga bag. Okay. Just in case.
Reynolds Wrap is plastic wrap, not aluminum foil, but, you know, I'm not going to know but you. All right.
No, they make aluminum foil, you joke of my ass.
Reynolds Wrap makes aluminum foil?
Yeah, Google that shit.
I'm going to Google that shit right. I'll Google that shit right the fuck now. Hold on. Get my fuck. You keep talking while I Google this.
All right. So, anyways, I think that measurements, like, if you're the type of person who wants to track these things, it can just be interesting to look at data over time. So I don't know. I'm not trying to diet. It's just sometimes I like to use it for if I happen to be having like a day where I feel really fat and I feel really bloated, I'll do the measurements and see that I'm the exact same size that I've always been. Something else is going on.
Okay, maybe Reynolds Wrap is literally only aluminum foil, so you're right. You're right, as always, Linda. You win again.
I'm so excited about that.
You win again.
But wrap, you know, the word wrap is in there.
Well,
so it's like saran wrap. Like, why?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Clearly, I buy off-brand all these things. What do I know?
Oh, Andy.
Oh, me.
Lately, a lot of people have been telling me I look like the lady from 50 Shades of Grey.
Who's this person? I got to Google this person. Hold on one second.
Dakota Johnson. I've also been wearing a baseball cap and sunglasses, and it looks like I'm trying to be like undercover or something.
Oh, like you look like a celebrity.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah. Dakota Johnson. Now, why are people now saying you look like, isn't this like 50 Shades of Grey like an ancient movie that hasn't been in like the zeitgeist forever?
I wouldn't say ancient, but she was just in The Lost Daughter. So she's still acting and stuff. I think that it's the hair. I think my hair has gotten a lot longer.
Yeah, that's really the only thing I think you have in common with this woman, frankly. Like, yeah. Definitely, I found one picture here where, like, yeah, that's like, I could have, like, Photoshop copy-pasted your hair onto her, but, like, that's the only way. I mean, I guess you're also white ladies. Those are the only two things I would say you, like, have in common looks-wise.
Yeah, we're, like, white ladies with faces and hair.
Yeah, but, like, whole different bone structure and everything.
That's what I think. But, yeah, this, oh, my God, this Delta lady, she was checking me in, and she seriously did, like, a triple take, and she was like, you're not, no. And I was like, no, are you thinking of Dakota Johnson? She was like, yes! She's like, 50 Shades of Grey is my favorite movie.
Well, I mean, it's probably pretty flattering to be told you look like a celebrity who is, I assume by all measures, considered broadly attractive.
Yeah. And it's usually only when I have my mask on, too, so.
Oh, maybe you've got some, maybe you got like a brow or something that is, is similar, but looks different when you have your mask off. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows, Linda?
So yeah, that's about all that's new in my world. I was just in San Francisco. I did a photo shoot. It was fun. I got this battery for my vacuum. I got a chair and an ottoman waiting to be set up when I get home.
Ooh, I love that.
Hell yeah.
So fun to set things up. I just got all these bike parts for this bike. I've been working on it. I started working on this bike last August and then been waiting for bike parts to arrive for it. And so that's what I'm doing after work today is building a bike, and I'm very excited about it.
That's a big deal. Are you going to get the whole thing built tonight, or is it going to be like...
Yeah. I mean, I had it mostly built already because I already had most of the parts. So I got the last, like, you know, the last couple parts in. I got to do the annoying stuff. Like, I'm not sure if you've ever built a bike before, but all the cable routing is, like, pretty annoying, fiddly work that's, like, not that satisfying. Most of it is like, you know, giant Legos for adults. That's what most of building a bike is. But then some of the things like, you got to, like, very carefully line stuff up and file little bits down to make sure... I don't know. I'm at the annoying stage, but then it'll be done, and I can ride it and feel cool.
That's so cool. Yeah, there was this place in Atlanta that, I wish I could remember what it's called, but it's like a little bike co-op where they'll sell used parts and help people build bikes and stuff. And so I bought this bike frame that was super cool and vintage and kept saying I was going to go to that place. But this is like a time in my life where I didn't even know if I remembered how to ride a bike.
That's a pretty big if.
Yeah. I hadn't ridden one since I was like 12 years old or something. And so I was like so nervous that I would like get the thing built and not even be able to ride it away.
I think you would like my bike. I'm going to send you a picture of this bad boy right now.
Please do. I bet it's very sexy.
It's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about it. It's a vintage mountain bike frame from like the mid 80s, which is when mountain bikes were like first invented. And they weren't really like now modern mountain bikes are like technological marvels. But this was just like, what if we put big tires on a regular bike and rode it down a mountain?
See what happens. That's cool. Well, have fun, Andy.
I'm going to do it. It's going to be very fun. Very excited about it. Enjoy your yoga class.
Thank you.
I hope your vacuum sucks real good.
Nice.
Disgusting, bye. Linda. Disgusting. Your head's in the gutter.
It's funny. You're funny.
Bye.
It's a big hat. Bye.